20 years after the fall of Czechoslovakia's communist regime, the Communist Party of Bohemia and Moravia has retained both its communist label and much of its ideology. Our guest in this edition of One on One, Jozef Skála, recently became one of the party's deputy leaders. In the late 1980s, Mr. Skála was the head of the Prague-based International Union of Students, and on its behalf he decorated the country's last communist leader, Miloš Jakeš, just 2 days before the student demonstration triggered on the 17th of November, the Velvet Revolution.
When Mr. Jakeš came to the headquarters of the IOS the 15th of November, we had two very small lifts there, and that's why we were going up to the last floor. And the only way was to go only two people in the lift, not any bodyguards and so on. And believe me or not, the debate I had with him from the ground floor to the sixth floor was related to one question. Tell me, please, could you guarantee me that there will not be any kind of clashes, any kind of violence, any kind of anything like this? And he was looking at me and saying, what do you think, we are stupid or what? Obviously, we are doing our best not to allow anything similar.
What do you think the communist leadership back then, even in the months preceding the fall of the regime, what do you think they had in mind? Do you think they had in mind the well-being of the people they were governing, or do you think that they care more about their power, really?
Any generalization like this is obviously too much black and white. If there is more time, we should speak about individual people. But there is even many books which somehow depict the conflicts among the top echelons of power. And even the very peculiar scenario of the Narodni Street story when the policeman from the state police was lying down, and pretending to be dead and so on. So it indicates something. So there were obviously groups which were trying to provoke something and use it for their very particular interests, which was obviously an extremely stupid scenario. Coming back to your initial question, I know a number of people which were very honest and even capable, and they did not get a chance to manifest it in the respective, level of power in time. That was the tragedy of the 80s.
For example, today, when you're elected in parliament, or maybe even you become a member of government or prime minister, you rely on the vote, on the support you received in free election. What were these people relying on? Do you think they thought about who supports them, where their power is grounded?
This would need a very long reply, because, as you know, politics today in Czech Republic, simply as a matter of comparison, would you say that there is a fair competition among political subjects, or it's a matter of money, who is pumping money where and so on? So in a socialist society, there is not a private capital which would finance campaigns of this or those. Obviously, socialism should have developed to a more and more democratic phase, even in terms of the political mechanism, let's call it like this. And this was the ambition of my generation, yes.
It seems that many members of the Communist Party changed their views on all kinds of issues after 1989, including, for example, private enterprise. In the 1970s and 80s, your party condemned the exploitation of men by men, as the phrase ran. But after 1989, you yourself started a business. When did you discover that exploitation can be fun?
No, there is no contradiction in this, because we still think that people should not be exploited. This is a program for our party up to now, and it will be forever. Well, forever is maybe a too strong formulation. But if you are obliged in a new situation somehow to feed your family, and there is this lustration, or how we say it in English, law, which, and other, measures which are somehow ousting people of that kind like myself, then you are obliged to find some, space, some niche in this new society. So you are forced to do it. It's not a free decision. It's a quasi-free decision.
Your party has apologized several times for the wrongs committed during the four decades of communist rule. But the Communist Party today seems to still rely on very much on what analysts would call the protest vote. that is on people who are against the regime and have severe reservations and perhaps would prefer to live in the regime that ended in 1989. Do you think that the Communist Party in this particular respect perhaps missed an opportunity to reform itself and become a Western European-style left-wing party?
Again, it's a matter of criteria. I would formulate it in a different way. The Communist Party is a systemic opposition, yes. Why to, let's say, hide it? We believe that the rights and interests of the people could be sufficiently materialized only beyond the horizon of capitalism. That's our, let's say, deep conviction. And I think the present financial and economic crisis is bringing quite interesting evidences of that. The happy end of history, as it was called by certain Western, let's say, theoreticians and so on, was rather a mystery than, let's say, a realistic forecast. In terms of reforms, I can second what you said in a little bit different way, yeah. But there's a number of reasons which should be more deeply understood. Is it easy to be a communist today, let's say in my age or for younger people? It's not easy to be, let's say, openly a communist, not to go to some meetings and so on, because you are risking, let's say, existential troubles, which are not small. And that is why there is hundreds of thousands of people which are voting us, let's say, which are in the elections with us, but they have a problem, I mean, to manifest their beliefs, I mean, more openly in a day-by-day life. It's clear. This is multiplying some sort of a ghetto effect. Those who are inside that party are pressurized by various, let's say, factors around themselves, and it's multiplying in them some sort of a, I would not call it a sectarianism, but some sort of a lack of capability to go beyond that border and speak with the people in a way which would be understandable to them and which would really attract them. This is a disease which is also, let's say, very, let's say, which also I feel as a big problem, and people like myself are doing our best to somehow overcome it.
In the central Bohemian region, the Communist Party supports the Social Democrat government, and the governor, Social Democrat David Rath, said that such cooperation could work well on the national level as well. So do you see Social Democrats and Communists in a coalition government after the next general elections in May 2010?
I cannot, let's say, give you any exact forecast, but let's follow rather an objective logic of the Czech politics. The pendulum is somehow moving back to the left. And it's a matter of social situation of most of the people, which would worsen still more and more, and all the optimistic forecasts which are channeled through certain media are, to my opinion, a soap opera, because the genuine, let's say, repercussions of the crisis are still coming. And social democrats, if they wish, let's take it from their point of view, if they really wish to make an alternative government and not any hybrid, let's say, with Civic Democratic Party and the other right-wing forces, then there is no other way than to find a certain modus vivendi with ourselves. And nobody's insisting on that we should be, I don't know how many ministers. We are not seeking for posts and something like this. The model which is applied in Central Bohemia is one of the options which, to my opinion, can be applied in the whole of the country. Nobody's claiming that we should be, let's say, inside the government, provided there is some sort of a deal, not in any commercial and, let's say, other, let's say, respects, but a genuine political agreement among two left-wing parties, which would guarantee to the people of this country much more, let's say, viable, suitable, and social-oriented, social-friendly policies. I mean, that's perhaps the key goal.